Good morning. Thank you for connecting to the results call for the first quarter 2018 for Grupo Sur. I want to remind you that you'll have access to the recording of this conference on our webpage, www.gruposura.com. You will also find a presentation we will be following during this presentation. For the participants in the English line, in the webcast, you will find the presentation both in English and in Spanish. Today, we have in this call by Grupo Sura, our CEO, David Bujanini, Ricardo Jaramillo, Vice President of Corporate Finance, Juan Luis Munera, Vice President of Legal Affairs, Luis Fernando Soto, Manager of Accounting. From our affiliates, we have Carlos Oquendo, Vice President of Corporate Finance for Sura Asset Management, and Juan Fernando Uribe, Vice President of Finance and Investment for SurAmericana. Now I'll give the floor to our CEO, David Bujanini.
Good morning, everyone. We thank you for having accepted the invitation to participate in this call about results for Grupo Sura for the first quarter of 2018. I would like to start with slide number five with an explanation of some significant events from Grupo Sura during the first quarter. First, I would say that there is a good behavior of the operations of the business, both in terms of growth in revenue, premiums, insurance, commissions for fund management. We have an impact on the results, which is mainly due to the performance of the capital markets during the first quarter, which they went down. Unlike 2017, when there was less volatility and excellent results from the investments. Total revenues for Grupo Sura in this quarter came to 4.8 billion pesos, this means a decrease of 2.2%. That decrease is explained mostly by the fact that the revenue from investment, both from the mandatory fund reserves and the insurance reserves, decreased by 47%. This is at 223 million pesos. That is explained by the lower yield of the capital markets that I just mentioned. On the other hand, the retained premiums have a slight decrease, 0.8%, this is explained by the lower sales of annuities and because SurAmericana decided not to participate in the bids for the retirement insurance in Colombia. Obviously, as we shall see later, will also affect our revenue for net premiums. The third reason to explain the lower revenue is that the method of participation of the associated companies decreased by 44,870 million pesos, 17.8%, is explained mainly because of the lower profits from Bancolombia due to the provisions for accounts receivable and because of lower profits from Protección, also explained by the lower yield of the deposits and the behavior of the capital markets. We have our focus on efficiency. Total expenses for Grupo Sura were down 0.6% during the quarter. This is explained, on the one hand, by lower adjustments for the reserves. That adjustment was decreased by 47.6%, by a control of administrative expenses. These expenses decreased by 1.6%, because of lower interest, which also decreased by 3% compared to the first quarter of the previous year. Net profits, consolidated net profits for the company came to 310,000 million pesos. This means a decrease of 23.5%. The profits for the controlling entity came to 269,000 million pesos,
with a decrease of 20.6%. So to summarize, these results of profits for the quarter is explained mainly by the behavior of the capital markets that represents a significant decrease in the revenue, both for the reserves and the decrease in the reserves. But also, we see, and we will be seeing that throughout the presentation, that there is a good behavior of the operations of the business, a good growth in premiums, good growth in commissions for fund management, an emphasis on efficiency with lower administrative expenses. And this is what is showing us that really we are following our strategy, and that unfortunately we were affected by the behavior, which was less good, of the capital markets. Our financial debt, consolidated financial group of the group, comes to $8.98 billion, with a decrease of 4% compared to the end of the close of 2017, and this is explained mostly because of the foreign exchange effects. Also, we announced during this first quarter of the year that the agreement we signed in Chile to sell the annuities business in that country for an approximate amount of $230 million. And obviously, the non-participation of Sudamericana in the bids for provisional insurance, as we mentioned earlier, these are two events that show our focus on efficient capital allocation, trying to get the short, medium, and long term to that we can have a better balance between risk, return, and efficient use of capital. On the right-hand side of the slide, we'll see the amount of our investment portfolio, which comes to 26.4 billion pesos, where Sudamericana represents 13% and Suda Asset Management 27%. Both companies are shown at book value, and Grupo Argos, Grupo Nutresa, and Grupo Bancolombia, which are the associated companies, are expressed at the market value. Now I'll give the floor to Ricardo Jaramillo, our financial vice president, who will give you details about the figures for Grupo Sura for the first quarter. Good morning, everyone. I will now explain in more detail the financial statements of Grupo Sura, and I'll start with slide 6 with the statement of financial situation. We'll find the graph on the left-hand side, the total assets for Grupo Sura, and we see that we have 66.7 billion with a decrease of 2.3 billion or 3.3%, explained mostly because of variations in the investment accounts, which went down 3%, 818,000 million pesos, with a lower yield of the portfolios of the insurance companies and the pension funds. In the mercantile and intangible accounts, we decreased 5.5%, mostly due to effects of the rate of exchange. And in the investments in associates account, which went down 3.5% or 652,000 million pesos, mostly due to the distribution of dividends from our associates and because of the conversion effects. In the upper right-hand corner, we see the behavior of the liabilities. Liabilities came at March 2018, 41.5 billion, with a decrease of 2.8%. These liabilities, we find the technical insurance reserves, which went down 3%, 793,000 million pesos mostly, are related to the seasonality of the business, and financial liabilities and securities issues, which decreased at 2,100,000 pesos, with variations associated to the conversion effect due to the revaluation of the Colombian peso. In lower right-hand graph, we see the equity. It came to 25.1 million, and the variation is 4.2 in your growth compared to 2017 is explained mostly by a distribution of dividends and some effects of currency exchange effects. In slide number 7, we'll see a details of Grupo Sura's figures. We'll see the individual figures for Grupo Sura. We see the exposure of the debt by currency, and the dollars only carry 20% of debt, and the pesos is 79%. The lower part, we have the consolidated financial debt, which came to 8.9 billion, a decrease of 4% or 370,000 million pesos, mostly explained by the effect of the rate of exchange. In the right-hand graphs, we see the debt by type of debt and by debt by company. Thus, banks and leasing have 21% weight, bonds 79%, and in debt by company, we see that Sudamericana represents 14%, Sura 32%, and Grupo Sura 54% of that debt. In slide number 8, we'll see the statement of integrated results consolidated for Grupo Sura. We'll start with total revenue. Total revenue for the company came to 4.7 billion pesos, a decrease of 2.2%, which we'll see in detail in the upper right-hand graph, where it was mostly affected by the effect of revenue from investments, which is equal to 47%, 253,000 million pesos. But I want to point out the positive growth of the revenue from commissions, 11.5%, and from services provision and health services, 19%. We show the good dynamics that, as David Bujanini mentioned during his introduction, we still have in the businesses in the various geographies. Also, we must point out the method of participation, which decreased by 17.8%, explained mostly by the decrease in the profits from Bancolombia and because of the seasonality in the accounting of the dividends for Grupo Argos, because their assembly did not take place during the first quarter. This takes us to close with $4.8 billion in revenue for 2018. For total expenses, the expenses have a dynamic growth, a decrease of $4.3 billion. And some indicators that we want to point out, we'll see the most losses plus reserves decreased 7.7%, significantly improving by 497 basic points with our losses. And the cost of service provision represent right now less, 190 basic points less, than the revenue from services provided, improving the efficiency in this line of business. Administrative expenses remain at the same, about the same level as a percentage of revenue, but they decreased by 1.4%. And on the other hand, interest as a percentage of total revenue, total revenue was less, decreased by 3% in interest and represent 3.1% of our revenue. In slide number 9, we'll see graphically the most major variations of our net profits during the first quarter. Thus, during the first quarter of 2017, we had 405,000 million pesos in profits, and this one was 310,000 million, a decrease of 95,000 million pesos in profits, or 23.5%. which we'll see how this is explained. Mostly the profits from Sudamericana went down 30%, 44,000 million pesos, with lower revenue from investments for 54,000 million pesos. In the case of Suram, the decrease was 41,000 million pesos, or 23.6%, and revenue from investments went down close to 70,000 million pesos. The participation method decreased by 25,700 million pesos, explained because of the lower profits from Bancolombia and the time effect in Grupo Argos. I want to point out the administrative expenses were, compared to a provisions that we had for the tax authorities in 2017, and we lower the tax on wealth. These two effects show a positive 34,005 million pesos. Seen in details, the numbers for Grupo Sura. I'll give the word to our CEO, David Buheni, to tell you the significant effects of our affiliate, Suramericana, insurance trends and risks. Now we go to show the results of the first quarter for Suramericana, management of risks and trends. And we'll start by saying that during the first quarter, the company had retained premiums for 2.2 billion pesos, which represents a growth of 2.8%. These retained premiums, if we exclude the effect of the non-participation in the provisional insurance, would have grown by 8%. I also want to mention that the revenue from health service provision had a very positive dynamics with a growth of 20.8%. It's also important to mention in the case of Suramericana that there is an improvement in the technical and industrial results for the company, which are driven by a lower rate of losses, which went down 175 base points, and by, in the case of health, by a control in the cost of service provision that grew by 18.5%, which is less than the growth of the revenue that we show, which was 20.8%. And administrative expenses for the company only grew by 1% during the quarter. If we go to segments which also had a very good performance in operating terms, we'll start with life. The premiums from the life business grew by 11.2%, excluding the provisional insurance. And efficiency in the life segment improved by 30 base points. That means that the operating expenses compared to operating revenue, this indicator went down by 30 base points. But on the other hand, the revenue from investments decreased by 19.9%, and this is what really affected our results for this segment, which, as we can see, there's growth in premiums, there is more control of expenses, but unfortunately, the yield of the reserves went down by 20% approximately. The general insurance business grew in retained premiums by 5.5% and improved 270 base points in the combined ratio because of lowest rate of losses of accident, and improved by 41 base points, and a control in technical and administrative expenses. Net profits, adjusted net profits for this company decreased by 4.1%, and the explanation for that decrease is also the lower yield of investments and higher taxes that we had to pay during this first quarter compared to the first quarter of the previous year. In the health sector, the net profits has a very good behavior. It grew by 104% and is driven by the good dynamics in revenue, which went up 20.2%, and a lower rate of accidents, which went down by 130 base points. As a result, a consolidated result, this company came to 590 million pesos in profits, down 30.8%. This decrease is in absolute terms of 44,700 million pesos, and this is explained because of the lower revenue from investments that went down 59,000 1,000 million pesos compared to the first quarter of the previous year. Also, there are other explanations, as we said, because of the higher taxes paid for general insurance. With these results, Sudamericana has an adjusted ROE of 13%, which anyway is higher than the cost of capital, and an adjusted ROTE of 17.8%. Now, Ricardo Jaramillo will explain in detail the figures for Sudamericana and the various affiliates. Let's start our analysis of the financial statements for Sudamericana in greater details. Let's start with slide number 12, the integrated statement of results. Operating revenue, the company reached 3 billion pesos in revenue with a growth of 6.7%, explained by a growth in premiums of 2.8% and a growth of 20% in health service provisions. In the right-hand corner, we see the net profits, and we see that the profits came to 100,000 million pesos with a decrease of 30%. I want to point out the good dynamics of the insurance business that we can see in the technical results. The technical results came to 9.5% growth with a variation of 47,000 million pesos, and a total comes to 551,000 million pesos. Some indicators that show good trends in this technical results are the graphs in the lower part of losses plus reserves as a percentage of retained premiums that improved 130 base points in the losses and service provision, the cost as a percentage of revenue, which improved by 185 base points for that indicator. It's important to point out also the effort we've been putting forth in controlling administrative expenses, which grew 1%, and that the indicator for administrative expenses, a percentage of revenue, improved by 120 base points. In slide 13, we'll see graphically the variation in Sudamericana's profits from the point of view of the company's segments. We see that the life and general businesses had lower contribution to the company's profits, explained by the revenue from investments, and how health contributed 10,000 million pesos. And we also want to point out the interest, which is lower due to the lower inflation rate in Colombia, and taxes, which we had lower taxes associated with the dividends received to date from the various affiliates of the company. Going on to slide 14, we'll go into details about the numbers for the life business. In the left upper part, we see the company in life had net profits of 174,000 million pesos for 2017. In 2018, it went to 113,000 million pesos with a decrease of 35%. Going into details of those figures, first we want to look at the technical results. The technical results for the company went down 4.6%. That is the result of a decrease in retained premiums of 0.9%. We should point out that without the effect of the provisional business or the non-participation in that business, these premiums would be growing at 11.2%, that the retained accident rate as a whole improves by 80 base points, and that we have a number of expenses in some companies, such as ARL, where we have some technical expenses for promotion and prevention. Thus, the technical results came to 143,000 million pesos for this segment. Going on to administrative expenses, we continue with our efforts to reduce expenses. Expenses went down 1.1%, representing an improvement in the expense indicator of 30 base points. We also see a decrease in revenue from investments, 20%, and decreased by 36,000 million pesos. This is the major impact on the company's profits, and also an impact on the account that we call others, which is the return of 21,000 million pesos in 2017 that we had from income taxes. Going to the right-hand side, upper part, we said the various solutions, and I want to point out specifically the growth of the health segment, 12.8%, ARL 20%, and the provisional decreased by 63% because of what we said earlier, that Sudamericana is not participating or did not participate in the bids for that solution in the country, and that reflect a decrease of 110,000 million pesos in the country, and we will continue to see the impact during the rest of the year. And we have a positive rate of losses with an improvement of 80 base points in this segment. Now, in the upper part of the left slide, we'll see a variation in profits. The profits for 2017 was 29,000 million pesos, and in 2018, first quarter, we came to 25,000 million pesos with a decrease of 12.3%. Now, we'll go into more details about how that variation consists of. Let's start with the technical results. The technical results for the company went up by 19,000 million pesos, 7.2%, and reflects the good dynamics of the business in the various geographies. Retained premiums are growing by 5.5%, and we want to point out two issues that affect that number. One, in Brazil, we decided not to renew an important business in Affinity because of profitability issues. And in Argentina, we had an impact because of the devaluation of the Argentinian pesos vis-a-vis the Colombian peso. The premiums are growing 23% in local currency compared to a decrease of 4.3% in Colombian pesos. Also improved accident rates, 190 base points, improving in auto and fire. The combined ratio improves 270 base points, comes to 104%. Because of the better technical margins and a control of administrative expenses of 2.9% and less, which we also see in the upper part of the graph. The figure for revenue from investment decreased by 18%, 16,000 million pesos, because of the effects of the capital markets described earlier. These are the main effect on the decrease in profits of this company during the quarter. And we also want to point out something that we have here in this bar for others, which is an adjustment of the deferred taxes because of decrease of the rate of taxes from 40 to 33 that went into effect during 2017. It's important to point out that the net adjusted profits, without taking into consideration of the amortization of intangibles due to acquisitions, would come to 42,000 million pesos, 43,000 million pesos, with a decrease of 4.1%. Going on to the upper right-hand table, we want to point out the growth in issued premiums for two solutions. Auto is growing to 1.5% and is the main solution that we have, which is 154,000 million out of that billion point five that we have in this segment of digital insurance. And on the other hand, mandatory car with a growth of 18.4%, reflecting not only the mandatory insurance in Colombia, but also in some other countries that have that solution. To point out also the consolidated accident rate in the segment with an improvement of 190 base points. In slide number 16, we'll see more details about the health segment. As we said earlier, the company is showing very good dynamics in that segment, and we see in the upper left graph a growth of 104% increase in profits. In 2017, we had 9,400 million pesos, and we closed the first one with 19,200 million pesos. This is explained mainly because of the technical results and because of the administrative expenses. Let's look at the technical results. The technical results were 110,000 million pesos, with a growth of 33%. And these technical results are affected by two things: an increase in revenue by 20.2%, driven by a higher number of enrollees, with an increase of 12%, and an increase of 66% in complementary health plans. On the other hand, we have a decrease of 130 base points in the cost indicator because of lower inclusions of POS and disabilities, which improve our claims indicator, and an improvement in an indicator in the business of Dinamica. The increases we see in administrative expenses of 23.8% are associated with that decrease in the staff to serve the greater number of enrollees in the company. Revenues from investments in this case are affected by a lower inflation, but it is not significant. And as we said, this line in general has good dynamics for the first quarter. Again, I'll give the floor to our CEO, David Buranini, to tell us some significant events for Suda Asset Management. In slide 18, we come to the results for Suda Asset Management. We start with some significant events for the company in general. First of all, to mention that during the first quarter of this year, we signed an agreement to sell the annuity business in Chile for $230 million approximately. About the company's revenue, net operating revenue for Suda Asset Management during the quarter went down by 11.9%. And the main cause for that decrease is the revenue for the mandatory reserves, which went down by 87%, and is explained by the behavior of the capital markets, as we mentioned several times during the presentation. That is the one that leads to the highest impact on the results for this company. The commissions, or the revenue for commissions from Suda Asset Management during the quarter grew by 6.4%, which is a good growth for this company. And again, in operating terms, this company had good results for the quarter. We also had an impact from the capital markets for the participation method, which is affected. We went down by 54%, mainly due to the yield of the mandatory reserves in the case of Protección. And the insurance margin also decreased by 23%. The net profits for the company decreased by 28.3%. The assets under management, total assets under management of the company, are 393 billion pesos, with a growth of 10.3%. And the number of clients come to 19.2 million clients with a growth of 0.6%. The adjusted ROE for the company comes to 7.6%, and the adjusted ROTE is 32.7%. In summary, Suda Asset Management consolidated has a growth in revenue from commissions, which is its main activity, commissions for fund management. It is impacted by lower yield of the investments, especially the mandatory fund reserves, which went down by 87%. But the assets under management have grown significantly during the quarter, which means that the company continues with its growth process in the operating aspects. If we looked at the mandatory segment, the revenue from commissions in the mandatory segment went up by 6% during the first quarter. This is the highest growth we've seen since 2015. The mandatory reserves as an account in the balance sheet went down at a consolidated level and is affecting also the participating method. The mandatory reserves, as we said, is affected by the behavior of the capital markets. The company in the mandatory segment continues with its efforts to improve efficiency. Administrative expenses for this segment grew by 6.9%. And the net profits for the mandatory segment during the first quarter was down 23.4%. Mostly from what we mentioned, because of the yields in the mandatory reserves, the assets under management in the mandatory segment came up to 346 billion pesos with a growth of 9.1%. And we see here in the slide how the those assets are distributed around the different countries. Chile is 33%, Mexico is 21%, Colombia 25%, Salvador 4%, Uruguay 2%, and Peru 15%. And in the voluntary sector, also continues to grow in revenue and a positive net flow. The revenue from commissions for this segment went up 10% during the quarter. And the net flow, which is positive by 555,000 million pesos, had a lower growth of almost 26% compared to the previous year, when the yields of the funds are lower. There is a significant impact also on the withdrawals from the funds, which means that we have a positive net flow, is very good news in spite of the behavior of the markets. The assets under management came to 47.4 billion pesos with a growth of 20% during the quarter. The part about saving and investment, which is we used to call wealth management, these assets went up by 16.5% during the quarter. And the investment management, which we used to call asset management, grew by 19.8% also during the quarter. So the voluntary segment, which is a segment in which we're emphasizing most in our strategy, had very good indicators for growth, both in assets and assets under management and in the commissions for funds management. In general, this company, in operating terms, had very good growth in its activities, affected only by the behavior of the markets. Now, I'll give the floor again to Ricardo Jaramillo to explain in more details the figures for this company. In slide number 19, let's go to more details for Sura Asset Management's financial statements. Look at the consolidated figures for the statement of results, starting with operating revenue. We see how the company achieved 592,000 million pesos during the first quarter, decreasing by 7.9% or 50,000 billion pesos compared to 2017. And we want to point out the positive growth of 11.2% in revenue from commissions. On the other hand, as we have mentioned elsewhere in the presentation, our investment revenue affected our participation revenue, and the returns of the mandatory reserves, which decreased by 16.3%. Operating expenses came to 4.6% increase and reached 374,000 million pesos. We wanted to point out two indicators: the indicator of sales expenses as a percentage of revenue, which went up 90 basis points, an increase of 12.6%, mainly explained by higher expenses due to the dynamics of the businesses in Mexico, and the administrative expenses as a percentage of the revenues of the company, where, because of the increase in salaries and investment projects, we have a growth of 11.7%. In summary, the operating profits of the company went from 284,000 million pesos to 217 million pesos with a decrease of 23.6%, mainly explained again because of the yields of the mandatory reserves and the investments. In slide number 20, we'll see a graphic showing the consolidated figures for the statement of integrated results for the company. And we'll see how the profits for 2017 went from 173,000 million to a profit of 132,000 million in 2018. This is explained mostly because of a lower contribution from the mandatory segment by 52,000 million pesos, and that number impacts investments by 70,000 million pesos less, and the impact of protección by close to 20,000 million pesos less. Without that impact, the contribution or the growth of the mandatory segment would have grown by 5.4%. I will also point out that the positive impact because of the decrease to the on the wealth on tax, where we can see that it is increasing by 22,000 million pesos. Going back to the explanation for the mandatory segment that we saw earlier, the slide 21, we'll see in more details. The upper left graph, we'll see that profits went from 272,000 million pesos in 2017 to 208,000 in 2018, a decrease of 23.4%. Significant, but we want to explain how that is made up. First, a positive growth in the business. We see how the commissions are growing by 6%, significant that they hadn't seen over the past several years for that segment. And it is driven by an increase of 9.1% in assets under management, which came to 245,000 million pesos, with a net positive flow of 4.1 billion, a salary base of 30 billion growing by 5.5%. Where we point out how that the growth in 5.5% in Peru, protection 7.8%, above inflation, both of them. So revenue from commissions showed that dynamics in the growth of 6% also explained to a great extent by a very positive growth in Mexico. And as we said earlier, a significant impact of the mandatory reserves on the results have 73,000 million pesos, which is mostly what affects the final results of the company. Total EBITDA comes to 294,000 million pesos with a decrease of 21%, something similar to what we achieved in the first quarter of 2017, which was 283,000 million pesos. The table on the upper right-hand corner, we see the variations in the various countries and how we see the net profit with and without the effect of the mandatory reserves, and how this had a significant impact on all geographies. In slide 22, we want to point out the good dynamics of the voluntary segment. We see how the AULs have been evolving. On the left-hand side graph, we see how they have evolved over the various quarters, now coming to 47.4 billion in March 2018. That growth is driven by a growth in the number of clients that, as we can see, are now 1.1 million clients and that are growing at 12.3%. The AUMs must be divided into growth of 16.5%. In the associated to savings and investment, which we used to call wealth management, and 19.8 in the investment manage, previously called asset management. The net positive flow in all countries comes to close to 550,000 million pesos in spite of the volatility of the markets. Going to the other side of the slide, we see how the various countries and the various geographies have good growth in their net flows. Revenues from commissions are growing almost at 10% with 56,000 million pesos. The total margin for insurance had decreased 18.6%, affected mainly by lower sales in the English Link in Chile. And the net profit is explained variations in the participation method comes from protección and from other effects such as that and the income tax, which are coming to negative figures of close to 6,000 million pesos. With this, we conclude the presentation of our results for Grupo Sura and its affiliates, and we will go now to the Q&A session.
Thank you. Now we will begin the question and answer session. First, the ones verbally in this Spanish session, those who are receiving us in English, and those who are on the web, please send your questions in the same way. We will then answer those questions. For the Spanish line, please, if you have any questions, push star 1 in your phones. If you want to remove yourself from the waiting list, push the number sign. We have a question from Catherine Ortiz. Avienda Corredores. Good morning. Thank you for the call. I have two questions. The first has to do with the recent decrees, especially the last one that regulates the law of financial conglomerates. I'd like you to tell us a bit, if possible, the impact that you foresee with respect to this regulation of the law, especially what has to do with the minimum capital requirements. Do you think that there is going to be any impact or any to capitalize for Grupo Sura and in general impact of the regulation? And the second question has to do with, can you tell us whether Grupo Sura has exposure to Ituango insurance policies, and could that imply any risk for Grupo Sura in that respect? Yes, if you want to, Catherine, we'll start with the second question. First of all, we have joined the Solidarity Voices that have spoken up, and we hope that these problems can be solved because this is a very important energy project for the country. We cannot have any voice about the in details of the insurance because we're not the lead insurers in the project. But I want to tell you that so far we haven't had any claims because we don't know the damages, and it is difficult to speak about specific numbers. But the participation of Seguro Sura is proportionately less and is properly reinsured. I want to tell you that the impact of any loss here would not be very significant for Seguro Sura. This is all I can say so far. About the second question, I'll give the floor to Juan Luis Munera, our Vice President of Legal. About the conglomerates law, I'd like to remind you that this is a process of regulation that is done over time by two entities, the Financial Regulatory Unit of the Ministry of Finance, and then in more detail by the Colombian Financial Superintendents. What has been regulated so far, and basically the decree for capital that you refer to, we have done some preliminary calculations, although we still have more details to come from the Financial Superintendency as to how to do the calculations, and they do not require any additional capital for us, and it doesn't have an impact on the company. Perfect, thank you. The next question is from Rodrigo Sanchez from UltraSafe. Good morning. Thank you for your presentation. I have basically two questions. The first is, why did you not want to participate in the provisional insurance in Colombia? And do we expect this decision to be maintained, or is it just only for this year? The second question is, what we've seen in different regions, in most of the growth has been achieved in the way many companies have been growing is inorganically through mergers and acquisitions. My question is, are you evaluating any other type of additional acquisition over the next few periods? Are you doing anything different from what we've already participated in? And to, do you expect to come to an effective debt level when you think about new acquisitions? Well, Rodrigo, the provisional insurance, unfortunately, in the country have had very high claim rates because of the court decisions of granting payments for claims that do not meet the legal requirements. And this has been a problem that we've been discussing for a long time by funds and managers and the insurance companies, because it's been increasing our claims rates and forcing insurance companies very often to pay claims that are not established in the insurance contracts. And this was making it increasingly difficult to bid on provisional insurance for the case of the AFPs. So Sudamericana, because of the situation, decided to not participate in these bids. With respect to the growth in premiums, we do not have plans to make any acquisitions. We are able to grow our premiums organically. We've shown that over the years. We have an entire work plan within Sudamericana's strategy to strengthen our distribution channels, to introduce new products such as life products in many of the countries where we acquired the new insurance companies. And obviously that is going to be bearing fruit as we implement the new channels and the new products that we have in mind. We do not have any plan to make any further acquisitions, and we're convinced that we have that we can have good organic growth in the near future. Thank you very much. The next question comes from Stephanie Mosqueda from Credit Corp. Good morning. Thank you for your presentation. I have two questions. The first is about your strategy for the business in Brazil. How do you intend to continue the business because of the decision you made with Affinity? And the second is, do you have any plans to divest from the annuities in Mexico, seeing what you decided for Peru and Chile? The strategy for Brazil, let me tell you that the strategy is for the same reasons that I just answered in the previous question, of developing more channels, working much more in the small and medium-sized companies and life insurance, because the Affinity channel is a channel that has very high entry commissions and has no guarantee that you can recover your investment under those conditions. So we were rather focused on market segments, niche segments that are not being well served by other insurers in the country, such as small and medium-sized companies and life insurance. We see there an opportunity as well. In the case of annuities in Mexico, well, if we had an opportunity to do divestment, we would do that. But right now, we continue with the business as is. Thank you. Thank you. The floor to Juan Carlos Gomez to read questions from the webcast. We have a question from David Santos from Couple Group. Why does the accident rate improve in insurance, and how can we improve that? Daniel, the question is as follows. First, a combination of several issues. We're trying to not to be in non-profitable businesses, and we intend to have higher profit levels. In life, the life business, we have better results of 80 base points improvement in the accident rate or claims rate because of the retained in health and life businesses. We had a very stable claims rate. We have about 60% of the life premiums, and we have to say that we have a nominal reduction in the claims for the provisional insurance. We are not participating in this business, but we are still seeing claims, and at the same time, we are generating reserves for that. This affects, in a positive manner, the claims rate. In we have an improvement of 186 base points in retained claims, especially in auto and fire solutions. We have mainly because of the high claims rate because of specific events, which we haven't had this year, any similar events, and therefore comparatively we have better claims rates. If there are no further questions, so we want to thank you once again for participating in this call for results, and we wish you all a very good day. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's teleconference. Thank you for your participation. You can disconnect now.